Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. That's amazing. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured. That is an amazing list of accomplishments. It's an amazing list of heroes, but that's the B list. This next verse is my text. This is the A list. Not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection, and others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonments. This is what they said they don't understand. This phrase, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. My subject today is deliverance, our absolute victory. You may be seated. We're in football season. How many people enjoy watching football? Maybe you're not an avid fan, but you enjoy seeing the Cowboys win. Those Texans, they're a heartbreaker. They always, you know, those Houston franchises, they have the Oilers used to be that way. They just get your hopes up and then at the last minute not quite make it. But the thing about football is I enjoy it so much because I'm an expert on it. Because I've never played, I've never been in one game, I've never coached. But I can sit there and I can criticize so well and tell them what they ought to do. It's amazing how much you know about things you've never done. I've told you about the little story about Uncle Joe. There used to be a guy we got saved out of the drug world, and he's in heaven now. But he used to put up our marquee over where he had to replace those letters, you know. And so he'd go out there. He'd be out there forever. And I was fussing my secretary. What's taking Uncle, we called him Uncle Joe, what's taking Uncle Joe so long to put them letters? Any fool could put them up there. And so one day, Joe was not here, and I was the fool that was called on. It took me forever. I had no idea it was that hard to get those letters up there straight, because I'd never, ever done it before. Things you've never done before, and you have limited knowledge, it's very easy to be an expert at that. And so I'm an expert at football. And what I cannot stand is a quarterback letting himself get sacked. Throw it away. Throw it away. Don't lose yardage. Don't get a concussion. Throw it away. And that's what they do. It's called deliverance. But the reason why they hold it too long is there's a real competitive nature in those great quarterbacks. They don't want to throw it away. They don't want to just get out of the situation. They want to gain yardage. There's too many Christians in this world that everything that happens to them, they are looking for deliverance. And let me explain to you some of those things that you're involved in. Deliverance is not the best option. Sometimes you need to endure some things. You need to go through some things. The Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Deliverance is always an option, but it should not be the first option. We need to be able to stand in the pocket. We need to be able to say, wait just a minute. I think if I can hold on just a second, there's some real yardage to be gained here. There's a real victory to be obtained here. We should not be on the run. We should not be on the defense. We ought to be on the offense. I believe that the past year has been a blessing for me, but praise God, I intend to endure better this year than I did last year. And not just seek deliverance, but I want to obtain all that God is preparing me for. Others not accepting deliverance to obtain a better resurrection. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. We as believers decide the level of temptation that we are able to contend with. And the earlier we take our deliverance from whatever we're going through, the less result that we obtain from it. There is a unique club of believers that he's talking about. He said he called them others. Others not accepting their deliverance. A unique club of believers. Deliverance is not an option, but they will settle for nothing but total and complete victory. I like victory a lot better than I do deliverance. Deliverance just means I got out with my life. It means I got out. It's better than being decimated. I got out with my life to work again, to fight again, to overcome again. But when we talk about victory, what we're really talking about is not just escaping. That's deliverance. But when we talk about victory, we're talking about overcoming. Friend, I don't want to just say, well, I fought and I lived to fight again. I want to be able to say, I defeated that demon. I defeated that situation. That situation will never rise again against me again. I'll have other demons, and I'll have other trials, but I'll never have that one again. That demon knows not to come into my yard again. He knows that I am well able. I am well able. The Bible said well able. I am well able to overcome him. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. But whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The proof of victory is not that you are delivered from or out of something, but rather that you overcame something. If you really overcome something, it becomes a trophy in your life that you can celebrate time and time again. Deliverance is not the greatest testimony. Overcoming is the greatest testimony. When you find someone in the same situation that you used to be, you can talk to them about, I overcame this, and this is how I overcame. The power of God in us gives us the power to overcome. And Caleb stilled the people. This is Numbers 13, 20. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. If you are an overcomer, it gives you the power to possess the land. If you're delivered, it just means those enemies in the land didn't kill you and you escaped with your life and went away. I want to serve notice to the devil today that we are not going away. We're not just going to be glad to be alive. We're not just going to say we survived to arrive. But praise God, we intend to possess some brand new land in 2019 at Living Way Church. I just want to get out. It was my privilege to be able to spend a number of hours with Red McComb. He's a billionaire worth billions of dollars, and I learned so much just talking from him. And one of the things that he was able to share with me was, you will lose, but don't let that in any way intimidate you on going forward to your next adventure. He said, Steve, the guys that I started out with that did all right, but they didn't get to the level I am, he said, the first time they lost, he said it scared him to death. He said they got so careful. The Bible said about the disciples, they were careful for nothing. Friend, I want to tell you, when you got born again, when you became a son of the living God, when you became an heir of the Father, you've got something behind you that will not only give you victory, but you've got a God that will take those misfortunes and those mistakes that you make and turn them into something good if you will not become fearful and careful and just say, "Well, I know the Lord's got my back. And I wasn't very successful yesterday, but praise God, I'm going to start in a bigger fashion today." You know, when the church was young and we were getting a lot of guys my age, I was young, and a lot of guys came in and they wanted to spend time with me. And so at one point in time, they came to me and said, "Pastor," and none of them had any money hardly, and they said, we want to just be with you, and we want to share with you, and you can teach us." And I said, "I'll tell you what we'll do. We won't do this legally, but just as a covenant." I think there was about five of us. I said, we're just going to do things together. I'm going to help you guys. You guys have this real appetite to do something. And I said, I've been making a little money on some things. I'm going to include you guys in on some things. And so they said, "Oh, that's exciting. So our very first venture was that we bought 1,000 bales of hay for $1 a piece. Well, obviously, it wasn't very good hay because that's really too cheap. And when we got that hay and we had to haul it, it was just terrible. And the first two or three people that came and looked at that hay wouldn't buy it because they knew it was so bad that their cows wouldn't eat it. In fact, I had one guy, he bought some, brought it back. He said, "My cows wouldn't eat it." He said, "They're starving now. They wouldn't." He said, "That's the worst." I said, "It's terrible hay." And so it wasn't very long. We were stuck with the hay. But my little partners, they just wanted to be delivered. That's all they wanted. And they started whining. "Well, I don't think it was a good investment. You were the one that decided to do that. And you know hay, and you should have bought better hay," and on and on and on. And finally one day I got exasperated. We was having a little meeting. I said, "You guys went out," and all four of them, there were five of them coming, all four of them said, "We'd love to get out." I said, "You just want your money back?" And they said yes. So I gave them all their money back. And just $1 a bale. And so it was all in. I don't remember how that all broke out. But anyway, I gave them all their money back. And they were just so thrilled. They was able to go home and tell their wives, "I didn't lose any money. I got delivered." It's just like the Lord. If you don't panic, don't ever panic. Oh, when you panic, you get in trouble. I said, "Lord, I don't know how. This old hay is not worth anything. And I've got 1,000 bales, and I don't have no partner. It's just me and you now, Lord." And it was just a day or two or three, and the phone rang. And this guy said, "Mr. Fender, I understand you had some hay." I said, "Yes, I do." He said, "What?" I said, "It's wire tied." He wanted it to be wire tied. "It's wire tied." He said, "What kind of hay is it?" I said, "I don't know." I said, "It's just a mixture. It's not very good, sir. I'm going to be honest with you." He said, "What would you take for that?" I said, "Well, why do you want it?" He said, "I don't really care about the quality of the hay." He said, "I've built a go-kart track." And he said, "I want to outline that go-kart track with those bales of hay." I said, "Sir, would you give $5 a bale?" He said, "No, but I'd give four. Four times my money." I had to have a meeting with my would-be partners. Say, "You all got delivered, but praise God, I got a better resurrection." Some of you are involved in some things, and you're saying, "If I can just escape." Oh, you don't want to escape. The Lord has brought you to the kingdom of God for such a time as this, and you don't want to just get away. Praise God, you want a better resurrection. You want to possess the land. And so the Bible teaches us, if we will trust God, we won't just be delivered. We will overcome. There's some people in this building that are going to overcome some things in 2019 that you didn't get overcome in 2018. And not only are you just going to get away with your life and say, praise God, I'm glad I'm out of that mess. It's going to be one of the greatest testimonies in your life. Look what the Lord has done. What was threatening became a great victory in my life. The Bible said in Numbers 22 and 11, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. What God is saying to the people of Israel, I am going to give you the authority over the former inhabitants of this land, and I'm going to give it to you. Praise God. You have to realize when you got saved, one of the great mistakes that we make, folks, is that we think when we got saved that the only result was that we're not going to go to hell when we die. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the final result. But there are hundreds and thousands of results before that. And we need to be partakers of those. And one of those is, there is no greater authority in the world than the authority you have when you got saved. When you got saved, you became an heir of the Creator of the universe. And we need to take that authority, but before you can take it, you've got to acknowledge it. Praise God, I am now in charge because God made me in charge. When we were kids, somebody tell you to do something, and we used to say, well, who died and left you in charge? The answer to that is, Jesus died and left me in charge. He gave me the authority, and there's not one weapon that I don't have authority. There's not one demon that I don't have authority. Not only that, the Bible said that the angels are errand runners of those that have received salvation. That means I have authority over circumstance. I have authority over demons. I have authority over angels. And so why should I say, if I can just get out of this alive? I'm not just willing to get out of this alive. I'm not just trying to survive to arrive, praise God. I am going to possess the land, and I'm going to take authority over everybody that is trying to prevent me from receiving the inheritance that God said I could have. The question is, do you want deliverance or do you want authority? I want authority. Now, I'm not just settling for deliverance, praise God. I will not accept deliverance because I want a better resurrection. I want power over sickness. I want power over disease. I want power over poverty. I want power over depression. I want power over fear. I want power over questions. I want power over everything the devil is trying to unleash on God's people in Jesus' name. Praise God. Are you wanting deliverance or you want absolute victory? I want absolute victory, and that comes by overcoming in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to this. But when, this is Luke 11:22, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, He taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divided his spoil. There's an old phrase in war and in literature, and it said the spoils belong to the victor. That's the reason why when we were in Afghanistan and fought that war and were so victorious, the people that were in charge did not realize that we were in a major position to have spoils in the east, and they simply did not do that. They just wanted to get in and get out. And thank God we did that, and we did some good. But there were spoils there that America did not take advantage of. But the Bible teaches us that the spoils belong to the victor. What does that mean? That means that when the devil comes against you, you don't say, oh, I just want to get delivered from him. You say, I'm going to overcome him. And when I'm going to overcome him, I'm going to take back everything the devil has stolen from me. And then the Bible gives you this authority. Not only just take back what the devil has stolen from you, it says that you can take back up to 7 times what the devil has stolen from you. That means not only is your son going to be saved that's not living for God now, in 2019, you're going to take him back for the Lord. Not only are you going to take him back, you're going to get some of his friends with him. You're going to get some of his cousins with him, praise God, because you've got that authority, and you're not just willing to accept deliverance. Just keep my boy safe. That's not enough. We're not just asking for your boy saved. We're asking for your boy to be a praiser and a worshiper and a preacher and an evangel and a mighty man of God. So, oh, that's great. Oh, that's not enough. We want some of his cousins and some of his friends and some and his wife and his children. Praise God. We are asking that God bring us not only what we ask for, but the spoils that go with it. We're not just going to accept deliverance. We want the spoils. We used to have the most amazing, we want them to the Lord, the most amazing couple in this church, and they got their own church now. But they were just amazing, on fire for God, and God had done so much, brought them out of the drug culture and off of drugs and delivered them. And they become mighty people of faith. And she called me one Saturday night late. And something had happened. And those of you that had children know this happens sometimes. But there was some kind of a mysterious illness her little boy had just instantly had. And I mean, just rushed him to the hospital. He's unconscious. And she called me and she said, Pastor, she said, they say my little boy's not going to make it through the night. He's going to die tonight. She was a wonderful woman of faith. I still love this lady dearly. A wonderful woman of faith. And she said, but I'm believing God. And he was right down here at the Santa Rosa Hospital. And we began to pray. And we began to make intercession that that young baby would be, young boys, I don't know, 5 or 6 years old at the time, that he would be healed. And praise God, as the night wore on, she began to call with good reports. We're beginning to see positive signs. We're beginning to see him come back. He's starting to regain consciousness. But praise God, then she called me, and she said, the doctors are amazed. The nurses are amazed. The people in the waiting room are amazed. And then she called me, and she said, Pastor, said we just had 7 people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the Santa Rosa Hospital Chapel. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, we don't have to just get delivered. Praise God, we can overcome every situation. It is literally the fulfillment of what the devil means for evil. The Lord turns to good. The devil thinks he's going to take something out. The truth is, not only are you going to survive, not only are you going to be delivered, but praise God, you're not going to accept that little deliverance and say, that's enough. You're going to say, I want to be absolutely delivered, and so I am going to overcome. Listen to this. The Bible said in Revelation 21:7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. The overcomer doesn't just survive. He doesn't just accept deliverance. The Bible said he inherits all things of the kingdom of God. Not just the spoils of the adversary. Friend, when you realize what God has done for you, you just start checking it off. Praise God, you possess the land. Number 2, you expel the enemy. Number 3, you get the spoils of the war. And now you realize I am an heir of Almighty God, and I inherit all things, and he is my father, and I am his son, and he will deny no good thing from me. It's just amazing what we will do for our children. You can't help yourself. Say, oh, don't spoil your kids. We'd say that all the time, talking about raising, but everybody does it. You do everything you can. That's just something inside of us. We do well for our children. When you realize that God is your father, that he is no longer your judge, you see, when you're a stranger to somebody, you really revere their position. But if you happen to be the son of a judge, he's not a judge, he's your daddy. If you have to be the son of a doctor, he's not a doctor, he's your daddy. And praise God, I know that God is the creator, and I know that God is the judge, but more than that, God is my daddy. He is my father, and I am his son. And so what does that mean? It means I don't have to accept mere deliverance, but praise God, I can have a better resurrection. God will do for me what he will not do for a heathen or an alien or an atheist because of a relationship I have with him. And that means that I am so blessed. Praise God, because I can possess the land, I can dispel the enemy, I can take the spoils of the enemy, and now I've entered into another realm, and that is that everything in the kingdom of God I inherit, and the Bible said he will not deny any good thing from me. 2019 is before you. You ought to be up on your tiptoes of faith saying, look what's going to happen. I'm going to possess the land. I am going to defeat the enemy. I'm going to take the spoils of the enemy, and I'm going to inherit the things of God. It's going to be the greatest time of my life. Do you want deliverance, or do you want to receive the things of God and be an heir of God the Father and a joint heir with Jesus Christ? Let me hurry on. The overcomer is impervious to death. Listen to what it says. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. You are literally impervious to death. Do you want deliverance or do you want eternal life? Praise God. A friend of mine, pastor in North Carolina, was about this point in his church service on a Sunday morning. And all of a sudden, one of the main men in the church just fell out. Just fell right out in the aisle. And they had said, like we do, they had some healthcare people there and some nurses and doctors, and they came and said he didn't have a heartbeat, he didn't have a pulse. They carried him out of there. The pastor turned to the assistant pastor and said, here, finish this message. He walked out with him. They had a second service. During the second service, here came the pastor back, and guess who was with him? The man that had just died in the aisle. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you that when Jesus Christ died, the Bible said he gave us keys over death, hell, and the grave. That means that we are impervious to death. The Bible teaches us that when we're going to leave this body, that we are present with the Lord. Death is not a part of our vernacular, our vocabulary, but praise God, we are overcomers. Well, he didn't suffer. He lived a good life. He was happy what he was doing. Oh, not only that, ladies and gentlemen, we wake up in glory. Do you accept deliverance or do you want eternal life and abundant life right now? I don't intend to live this life dragging around. I'm going to have an abundant life. I'm going to have a joy-filled life. I'm going to have an overcoming life. I'm going to have a prosperous life. I'm going to have a happy life. I'm going to have a productive life. Praise God. Why? Because I will not accept deliverance, because I want a better resurrection. I want to be risen by the power of the living God to live abundantly, and God said I could do it. Praise God. Praise God. If you accept deliverance, you're still a student. But praise God, if you're victorious, you're a soldier. If you accept deliverance, you're a child. But if you're victorious, you're a son. How do you become an overcomer? The Bible tells us very quickly. It tells us, number one, believe in Jesus Christ. Friend, I cannot express to you the confidence I have in who Jesus Christ is. If you make Jesus Christ one of silver, servile, he's not what the Bible said he is. If he is just kin to Muhammad and he's just one more Messiah in a whole list, oh, that's not what he is to me. The Bible said, who is he that overcometh the world? Who are those people that overcome? I'm one of them. Said, what makes you an overcomer? Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? I can't tell you how much I believe in Jesus. I believe he's wonderful. Oh, he's wonderful. I believe he's amazing. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he's the mighty God. I believe he's the Alpha. I believe he's the Omega. I believe he's the beginning. I believe he's the ending. I believe he's the first. I believe he's the last. I believe he is my shelter. I believe he is my bread. I believe he is my new wine. I believe he is my joy. I believe he is my strength. I believe he is my life. Praise God. Oh, that's where I started becoming an overcomer. I am an overcomer. Hallelujah. I've had people look at me in years past and say, the best thing you can do is declare bankruptcy. But I overcame. I didn't declare bankruptcy. And praise God, I got a little nest egg in the bank. Praise God. The church has got a little nest egg in the bank. Why? Because we're overcomers. We overcome financial problems. We overcome. How did that happen? Because we believe that Jesus Christ is our source. Jesus is our provider. Jesus is our way maker. We believe he'll make a way where there is no way. When we don't know how, we just say, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, I love that name, because when I call on that name, I've seen fever go away. When I call on that name, I've seen viruses just disappear. When I call on that name, I've seen pain just dissipate. When I call on that name, praise God, I've seen debt just dissolve and suddenly money appear. When I call on that name, I've seen drug addictions just go away and people set free. Oh, I like to just say, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. When I say Jesus, if I say it the right way, angels come and clap their hands and demons fold their hands and quietly fade away. When I say Jesus, I'm an overcomer. I'm not accepting deliverance. I'm not just going to get away with my life. Praise God. I'm going to leave this place victorious. I'm going to leave this place with many souls I've won to God. I'm going to leave my mark on this earth. I will not accept deliverance. I want a better resurrection. So number one, you want this to happen, you believe in Jesus. Number two, be born again. The Bible said in 1 John 5:4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And that is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Are you born again? It's not enough to say, oh, Pastor Steve, I want to shake your hand and join this church. Friend, I'm going to tell you what. All that does is just exchange a little perspiration between our palms. And you join the church. You need to be born again. Nicodemus said, what must I do to be an overcomer? What must I do to inherit the things of God? He said, you must be born again. It's not just enough to nod your head and sign a card. You need to have a spiritual rebirth from Almighty God. Lift your hands and praise God. I've been born again. That makes me an overcomer. I'm an overcomer. Number three, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. That's the word, overcome them. Because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Friend, have you been filled with the Spirit? You say, well, I'm not sure. If you tell me you're not sure, I'm sure you haven't been. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you will know it. Not only will you know it, everybody that knows you will know it. When you get filled with God's Spirit, I know that there's probably people that come to this church that are not baptized in the Holy Ghost, and you're just as welcome as the sunshine in January. But friend, I want to tell you, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, there are many times where you're just going to have to accept deliverance and say, well, I'm just trying to survive to arrive. But if you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you can say, I don't have to put up with this. I don't have to endure this. Because greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. The Bible said of that same Spirit that was in Christ, that quickened him and raised him from the dead, if it lives in you. My question is, have you been filled with the Spirit of the living God? If you've been filled and baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, you don't have to just accept deliverance. You can overcome everything that comes against you in Jesus' name. Next, the Bible said, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Friend, if you want to accept deliverance, that's fine. It's better than getting sacked. But praise God, I want a touchdown. I want to obtain something. I want to get a better resurrection. How do you do that? He said, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. These people that have these modern religions, they'll never mention the blood of Jesus. Somebody told me about a pastor. He said he doesn't ever mention the blood of Jesus. That's just so gory. Do you understand what we see at the movies? And what we see on Facebook? And what we see on the internet? And you think it's too bloody and gory to talk about Calvary and Jesus Christ? Ladies and gentlemen, that precious blood that he shed at Calvary covers me from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. There comes a time in your life, if you will overcome the devil time and time and time again, that he will literally get where he avoids you. Because the devil's like any other created being. He doesn't like to be embarrassed. If you embarrass the devil enough in front of his demons, he will quit attacking you like he attacks other people. And the way you do it is by the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. I am covered with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I am saved by that blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The Bible said life is in the blood. He shed his blood for my sins and my weaknesses. And when the Father sees me, he doesn't see my sins and my weaknesses. He sees that I am covered with the red, precious blood of Jesus Christ. I am an overcomer. I'm a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. And last but not least, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Friend, I've got so many testimonies. That's what it means to live for God. That you literally have a hit parade of testimonies. I won't negotiate appeasement with the adversary. And there is no detente with the devil. But absolute victory is my goal. Because I've found out I don't have to deal with the devil. Greater is he that's in me. I'm covered with his blood. I can possess the land. I can take his spoils. And the Lord is on my side. Would you stand right now and lift your hands to heaven and just give God some praise in this house? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's not enough just to get by. You know, that's a goal for so many people, is just getting by. That's not who we are. We're a mighty army. We're the peculiar people, the called out people, the people that were bought with a price, the people that are made in the image of God. I'm not just getting by. Praise God. I'm going to live victoriously. That means when the world has sorrow, I'm going to have joy. That means when the world is at war, I'm going to have peace. That means when the world is fearful, I've got faith. That means when the world is broke, I am blessed and prospering. The Lord is on my side. The Lord did an amazing job in my behalf, and I can't quit praising him. And that's the reason why when people say, Pastor, why can't we just be like a normal church? How can we have to be this noisy? Because we realize what the Lord has done. And sometimes we're like David. We got to run through a troop. We got to leap over a wall. We got to clap our hands. We got to say so because we have been redeemed of the Lord. If you're in this building right now, and you've been going through something in your life for some time, maybe it was a real problem in 2018. You already see it rear its ugly head in 2018. And you say, man, if I can just overcome, or if I can just endure this, and if I could just get delivered from this, my life would be all right. God doesn't want your life to be all right. He wants your life to be awesome. And if you're wrestling with something and you've been wrestling with it a long time, I want you to step out of your chair right now and say, praise God, for once and for all, I'm going to overcome this person, this situation, this circumstance, this ordeal. I'm going to overcome it in the name of Jesus because I have got the tools to do it. I've got the blood of Jesus. Praise God. I've got the Spirit of God. I've got my testimony. Look what the Lord has done for me. I'm able to possess the land. I'm not only going to defeat the devil, I'm going to take his spoils. Some of you lost your children, and God's going to bring them back in 2019. You